Well, welcome and thank you, Jackie. She'll be listening in when it's daylight in Thailand. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. We really appreciate that. We are honored to be your senders. And if you were listening to some of the language that Jackie used there, she kept using the phrase, move beyond. She's gone past where we're starting today, okay? So if you're concerned about what this series is all about, that's the end result. Okay, so maybe for you, you're going to not only think beyond, but your thinking is going to change and you're actually going to move beyond. Anybody excited about that? All right. Might have some work for you there, Pastor Deanna. So thank you also for organizing this series and putting this all together. So those that are newish to our church may not realize that I'm not from around here originally. Right? Oh, yeah, you're shocked, right? Right? About 21 years ago, Deanna and I came to Australia with our four children to be church planting missionaries because we were told there are no churches in Australia. Right? All right? That was 21 years ago. We came, and about 2 or 3 months in, we saw churches everywhere. So it was like, wow, we did a great job really quickly. Or we were misinformed. Now, that's a really long story, and maybe we'll save that for another time. But, you know, for us to come to Australia as missionaries, some things had to change. There had to be a major shift in my thinking and Deanna's thinking, but mainly mine probably, because she's a much nicer person and more spiritual than I am most of the time. But my thinking about mission went something like this. I used to think missionaries were ministry people who couldn't make it in local church ministry. Right, so we ship them off somewhere else where they can do that work. And if there was a missionary speaker coming to the church, that was a great opportunity for me not to go that week. Yeah, that was before I was a pastor, okay? I'm confessing and I'm ashamed and you're judging me right now, but stop it, okay? Mission was something that the church did, one of many things, and as such, it was optional whether I got involved in mission or not. That's the way I viewed mission. See, I wasn't anti-mission. I was just ignorant about mission. Now, we all have a certain view of what mission is, and often it is based on a limited understanding. Our view of mission will be clouded by our own context. Whatever context we live in and operate in, that's going to inform our mission. It's also going to be informed by our culture. Our culture is going to help us understand or come to a conclusion about what mission is, and our small circle of influence. Okay, that's why we're going to be thinking beyond, because that basis for our definition or our understanding of mission isn't enough. We need to think beyond that. See, our view of mission needs a solid foundation, and that's not a solid foundation for our view. If you've been around the church for a while, you would have been, any church, not just Wherry Baptist, you would have been taught about mission that you can be involved three different ways. You can give. You can give. And we would all say yes to that. That yes, let's give money so the missionaries can go, right? Let's give generously so missionaries can go, right? Would we all say that? And then you can pray. You can get involved by praying. Hey, that's simple, right? We just pray for the missionaries and then they're on the front lines and then that helps us relieve us from any other responsibility. We gave a little bit of money and now we're praying. And then we can go. At the end of the day, that is an option. That's what your framework for mission would be if you have grown up in the church. And that's not bad. That's not bad, okay? But while we say a hearty yes to all those things, our actual personal involvement doesn't always reflect that we're saying yes to that. If we're honest, right? Yeah? Maybe it's just me. But I think it's probably most of us. It's not that we're anti-mission. It's that we think that mission is just one of the many things the church does, and our involvement in it is optional. Maybe we think somebody else will do that. That's their job. They'll get engaged at that level. Now, last week, we saw that in Jesus' last interaction with his disciples, we saw that they needed to make some moves that created a movement, all right? They moved from being wrecked to worshipers. After he was dead, now he's alive again, they became worshipers. They moved from being confused to conviction. They weren't so sure about the resurrection when Jesus first came and started talking to them after he had died. But when they left that space, they had a conviction that it was true. And then they had to move from being a doubter to being a declarer. So they were going to be his witnesses. That's where we left it off, and that's where we're picking up now this month. If you missed last week or the couple of weeks before that, go to our website, go to YouTube channels, Facebook. And by the way, side note, don't go to Facebook. Yeah, Facebook is evil, right? Thursday night, I was in a board meeting at the school across the way there, and I started getting email messages that my Facebook account had changed its password. I'm in a board meeting. I'm not looking at Facebook, okay? And then all of a sudden, all these dozen emails came and everything, and since Thursday night, I have not been able to touch Facebook. Don't you feel sorry for me, right? Yeah. Such a relief. So if you've been sending me messages on Facebook or wondering what I'm doing in life and why it's not on Facebook, well, that's why, and it may never come back. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that was a side note. So go to our YouTube channel and our website, and you can get caught up. This month, though, we want to think beyond, and we're going to answer the question, what will you do next? Because of the resurrection, because of everything we've been talking about over the previous month, what will you do next? Today, I want to start by challenging your thinking about mission. I want to help you understand why we do mission and what priority it should have for us as a church, but also for you as individuals. So, question for you. Where in the Bible do we see mission? You can answer that. Do we not know? Okay, wow, you're so quiet. Tell the person next to you, if you're afraid to yell it out. Who said everywhere? Raise your hand if you just said everywhere. All right, free coffee for you. Free coffee for you after the service. Free coffee for you. Hey, and guess what? Free coffee for everybody, but anyway. You know, a lot of times when you ask that question, most people's minds go to Matthew chapter 28 or Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we hang mission on those couple of passages where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're going to be my witnesses, things like that. And those answers aren't wrong, but they're incomplete. And you guys are so smart, you're already there. The whole Bible is about mission. All of Scripture is about God's redemptive plan to reconcile mankind to himself. The whole of Scripture is about that. He begins by establishing the need, where he tells us about man messing things up in the Garden of Eden, right? And then he finishes in heaven around the throne of God with everybody singing and worshiping him. That's the beginning to the end of the Bible. The rest is just details about how you get from one place to the other. That's what the Bible is all about. So it's the pages of Scripture that then explain to us that we have a responsibility to take this good news of the gospel to the world around us. We find God's missionary heart all through the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 12, a very famous verse, if you will, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, that was God talking to a guy named Abraham. Abraham was going to be the father of the nation of Israel. And 4,000 years ago, a little over 4,000 years ago, God spoke to Abraham. He made a promise to him. He made a covenant with him. And he says, I'm going to bless you. And I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless all of those who bless you, that all the peoples on earth will be blessed because of you. Now, that's a great place for us to start understanding that all of Scripture is about mission, and God is a missionary God, because we understand God because of what we see in Scripture, what we see in creation and those things. But this is a great place to start, But friends, mission started before then. In the garden, when man messed it up, when man sinned, when man broke God's rule, only one rule. He only had one job to do, and anyway, he messed up, and God came searching for him in the garden. God came to him in his time of need. So mission started right then. As soon as man sinned, as soon as man messed up, God was there trying to reconcile him to himself. In fact, in that passage where we see God coming to man after he messed up, that's the first hint we see about the coming Messiah, the coming Redeemer that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. But the Old Testament is full, it's all about the mission of God. God's missionary heart's revealed in the law. The law is about Israel living out the righteousness of God to the world around them and declaring his name. The prophets are all about filling the earth with his glory. Psalms continually talks about God's name being declared in all the earth. And then there's some Old Testament missionaries, Jewish people who went to Gentiles. If you've been doing the quiet time the last month, you would have enjoyed reading the book of Esther. And Esther was the Gentile or the Jewish missionary to her Gentile captors. By the way, another side note, I decided looking through Esther this time. By the way, if you're not doing that quiet time, do it because you'll understand what I'm talking about right now then. But now, if you didn't, you don't know. But anyway, Esther, the whole book of Esther, we think it's about Esther. It's actually about this dude named Mordecai. And Mordecai was a gun. And he actually was the emissary, if you will, to the Gentile captors that freed Israel. So then we also have Joseph. Joseph was God's missionary agent for the nation of Israel to get them out of Egypt. We have Daniel in Babylon, and then we have Jonah, the prophet that went to Nineveh reluctantly, but he did. So mission is all through the Old Testament. Some scriptures that reveal this. Hang on with me. We're going to hit a lot of scriptures today, so keep your eyes up here, and you can write them down and look them up in your Bibles a little bit later. But the scriptures that speak to God being a missionary God, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. 1 Chronicles, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And then Psalm 86, all the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And then the last book in what we call the Old Testament, Malachi, says this, my name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. All right, if you don't like reading a whole book, right, the Old Testament, I just gave you the Cliff Notes, right? Are Cliff Notes an Australian thing? Yeah, yes, you know what I'm talking about. I'll say Cliff Notes. Okay, the summary, right? The summary is it's all about mission. It's all about God's name being declared in all the earth. Did you see that pattern there, or do I need to go through that again to make sure? You got it, right? All right, so the Old Testament makes it very clear that God is a missionary God concerned for all the peoples of the earth. Then the New Testament leaves no doubt. In the New Testament, we see in the Gospels the history of the life of Jesus. In the book of Acts, we see the history of the church. The first half of Acts is about the birth of the church and its growth. The second half of Acts is about the expansion of the church into other regions of the world. And then the rest of the New Testament, most of the rest of it was written to mission churches that were started by a guy called Paul and a few others. So the New Testament, again, is all about mission. Some verses to show you that. Mark chapter 13, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. If you have never been to church before, you probably know this verse. It's a mission verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Sound familiar? That whoever, God's concerned about everyone, believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then Galatians chapter 3, The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. See the continuity of scripture? Remember Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, when God made that promise? And then a guy called Paul, writing to a church in a city called Galatia, says that again, right? It's all connected. Then Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And then 1 John chapter 4, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Then Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 5 and verse 9, talks about a multitude singing. And part of the song they were singing says, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Wow, are you tired? Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, and I'm the one actually saying it all, and you're just taking it all in. It's the fire hose, I know, right? Right? You can get the notes online and go through all this yourself. But you see, do you see what the overarching point here is? That from the beginning to the end of this book, God is a God of mission. That's what it's all about. Man messed up and man singing around the throne. That's the beginning, that's the end. Everything else in the middle is about declaring his name to all the earth. We haven't even talked about a couple of other passages, the ones that you normally would go to talk about mission. In the Great Commission, the Holy Spirit moved writers of scripture to record no less than 5 times Christ's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the gospels have it, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says it here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, if God is a missionary God, and I hope you see that now, right? Anybody not see that now? Raise your hand, because I'll start over at the beginning, right? We see that God's a missionary God. That's abundantly clear. So what do we do with mission then? What priority should that have for us? Where should that sit for us as a church? Here's a typical church ministry model, a church where missions is one activity among many in a church. We have women and men's ministries. We have youth ministries, children's ministries. Yay for youth and children, right? We have worship services. We have life groups. We have mission. It's one slice of the pie. And you could add probably another 10 different ministries into that pie chart if you want to. Okay, that's typical. Now, the reason that's typical is what happens when a church first starts, it's not like that. When a church first starts, it's usually a few people that decide we need to study the Bible together and reach more people for Jesus. That's the bottom line. That's what they want to do. And then as they start doing that, and they're a little bit successful, and then they've got kids, oh, we got to do something with the kids. We need a children's ministry. Oh, there's too many of us in the living room. We got to have a bigger place and all this. And then, oh, we got to have life groups because there's too many of us to all just meet together, and we're not all getting to talk anymore. You see what happens? And then before you know it, that whole thing about let's meet together and study God's word and reach people who don't know Jesus has become that other thing. Here's a church, okay, where mission reflects the heart of God. You still have all of those ministries, but they emanate from a center of mission. You see, we say we have life groups that are on mission. Life groups are praying together. They are learning together, because part of making disciples, and we're gonna see in a few minutes, being a missionary means going and making disciples. They're growing together. They're praying together. They're serving together. Youth ministries aren't insular if we're mission focused. It's not just about us taking good care of your kids and protecting them from the big evil world out there, right? It's equipping them. It's insulating them, but not isolating them, so that they can go out into that world and they can bring their friends into this world, and it's a safe place for their friends to be exposed to the truth of the gospel. Our worship services point towards mission, both local and global. That's why we talk about it so much. Our finances and administration are done with mission at the center of the focus. It's like we're not doing stuff just because, we're doing it because of mission. And on our social ministries through the bridge, they're all about mission. So how do we see that reflected at WBC? As I was thinking about that just this morning, I got excited. Because that circle about mission in the center, and a lot of you would have seen this many times already, and some of you are newer and you never have yet. But at the center, our vision is to see hope multiplied. That is mission. That is taking the gospel to the whole world. That's reproducing ourselves, making disciples. That's at the core of everything. So when we think about our experiences, that's part of our strategy. Our experiences are driven by the mission. By the mission of seeing hope multiplied. Our engagement is driven by the mission of multiplying hope. We want people engaged so that hope can multiply. You can tell I'm a little bit excited about this, I think. We equip people to multiply hope. We empower people to multiply hope. We expand. We want to send missionaries out to multiply hope everywhere else. Multiplying hope is being on mission for WBC. I was excited about that. When I looked at the picture I showed you before, and then I looked at this one, and I was like, hey, actually, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're trying to do it anyway because, you know, we're striving to be that loving community, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus. So that's us as a church, but what about you? Yeah. You're happy for me to talk about the church, right? Because mission is just something that the church does, and if you're saying the church needs to be focused on mission, I'm good with that, right? But what about you? What about your life? Here is a picture of your life where mission is just something that the church does. You have family, right? That's important. Family is so important. We value families and we actually invest a lot in families. You have a job. Jobs are important if you like to eat, right? Then you have church as one of your slices. We've already talked about that a fair bit. Then finances, we all need finances, again, about the eating thing. Some of us have a hobby, if we have time for it, and you don't have small kids running around and everything. Those are your hobby, right? And we have friends. That'd be a typical life, yes? And you might have a different slice. Everybody's a little bit unique and everything. But that's your life where mission is something the church does. I want you to think about life where mission is at the center of your life. Same picture with a different focus. See, you still have family, but your family needs to be reached with the gospel, right? Your nuclear family and the family outside of that. Your family can pray together. Your family can learn together. Your family can go on mission together. You got your job, and for most of us, that job slice could be like 3/4 of the pie, right? Right? It shouldn't be. It should be fairly balanced. But with the job, you think, well, what about my job? How's that got mission? Be salt and light in your workplace. Look for opportunities to be different than people who don't follow Jesus. Our finances, oh no, don't start talking about our finances, right? Right? Our finances should reflect that mission is our focus. How much are we investing in mission, locally and globally, personally, not just the church? Our hobbies. Think about when you're going out and having fun, well, make it more than just going out and having fun. Say, look for opportunities to have a spiritual conversation in the middle of that. People out there who don't know Jesus are actually hungry, and a lot of them are searching. And if you just tune in to the things people are saying around you, even talking about world events around you and they're troubled by the world events and things like that, there will be opportunities for you to have spiritual conversations. See, it's just a matter of shifting your thinking. You still do your hobbies. You still have your family. You still have your friends. By the way, you should have unsaved friends. If you don't have unsaved friends, go find some. Right? Go over to the plaza and just first person walk up to say, hey, I want to be your friend. And then if they say, hey, I'm a Christian already, say, okay, I don't want to be your friend and move on. Go find some unsaved ones. Do you get the picture, guys? Mission needs to be at the center. It needs to be our focus. All these other things happen every day. But as those are happening, have a mission mindset as you go. This month, we're challenging ourselves to think beyond and answer the question, what will I do next? You're going to hear about opportunities, both local and global. And you're going to hear from some of our current serving global workers. You heard from one this morning. But I want you to think beyond the traditional give, pray, go. Mission can take many different forms. Next week, you're going to hear someone talking, and I'm going to warn you now, it's going to tug on your heartstrings. They're going to be talking about foster care. How is foster care a mission? Think about it for just that long. Think about your family. Maybe you expand your family. And then you've got people there that can be influenced by your family and your faith. Wow. It's amazing, huh? Think about global mission. You're going to hear about ministry to people who are marginalized. You're going to hear about people using art in a way to reach people in South Asia and media. You're going to hear about ministry to nomadic peoples in West Africa. You're going to be hearing about outreach to university students in South Asia. And as you are challenged to consider each week, what is your next step? What will I do next? Consider, it may be right here, right where you're at, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your local sporting club or organization that you spend a lot of time with and volunteer with. It might be with the friends that you do golfing with or you bake cookies with or whatever it might be. I don't know what women do when they go off because they go off. Anyway, it could be anywhere and anything that you're involved in. Matthew chapter 28 says, therefore go. Make disciples of all the nations. First two words, therefore. Therefore, because of the resurrection, because God is a missionary God. That's the why, okay? You don't need anything else. Therefore, because of that, go. That word go, that's actually not a command. The only command in this verse is make disciples. That word go means as you are going. When you are going to your job, when you are going to school, when you are going to your hobby, when you are going to church, as you're going, make disciples. So as you leave here today, be thinking, what will I do next? As I'm going, I need to have mission at the center of my thinking, the center of my heart, because God's a missionary God. Think beyond. As I'm going to work, to class, to fun, to the hobby, I'm going into a world where people need Jesus. So what are you going to do next? It's up to you. This month, you're going to get challenged a lot about this. Don't come if you don't want to be challenged. Actually, come anyway. Mission. It's not a part of what we do. It is the foundation of everything we do. We need a paradigm shift in our thinking. It's not God bless the missionaries, we pray for them, we give to them, and a few of us will go. Mission needs to be at the center of our world. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today to share your heart through the pages of Scripture. And Lord, we covered a lot of ground today. But Lord, it's a simple point, simple principle that you are a missionary God who cares about people all over the world. We want your name declared all over the world so people can understand what it means to have hope, to have peace, and to have life eternal. Lord, help us. In the midst of our busyness and our distractions and our pies have so many slices that we just can't fathom adding another one to it. Lord, help us to shift that thinking and not add one to it, but just help us to plant that seed in the front of our minds that while we're doing all those slices of the pie, we've got mission on our mind and on our heart. Give us that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.